Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Song that is a song recorded by my nephew, Mr. Chris Allman, who sings tenor with Greater Vision, one of the premier Southern gospel groups on the road today. What a beautiful day that'll be when we all meet in heaven. And this is a special month for us around the cottage here in Columbus, Indiana. I want to dedicate the program today to my wife, who has had a birthday this past week, May the 2nd. And then we will celebrate our anniversary during the month of May. And then we will also celebrate Mother's Day. Have fond memories of my mom. She was an incredible prayer warrior. And I have thoughts, memories of my mom almost every day. So I'm thankful for the wonderful spiritual heritage that I have. I'm so glad that you join us on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And my prayer is that the songs and the sermon that is shared will be a blessing and a challenge. The sermon for the next couple of weeks will be one that I preached at First Church of God in West Liberty, Ohio, last month, titled Final Exam, and I hope that it will indeed challenge your heart today. Don't forget to pray for me as I am in revival meetings this first weekend of May, May 7 to 10, Taylorville, Illinois, at the Church of the Nazarene. Then for our friends who listen to us on WPET, in Greensboro, North Carolina, we will be at High Point, North Carolina Charity Baptist Church. It's an annual engagement for us, Mother's Day services, at Charity Baptist Church with Reverend Elton Wilburn and his wife Donnie and all the great folks at Charity Baptist Church. If you listen to us on WPET, I hope you'll plan to join us for one of those services, May the 14th, then May 21st to 24, Oak Hill, West Virginia, at the Church of the Nazarene. Do pray for us. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience. Thank you so much for the assurance that we have that there is a place called heaven. And if we are faithful, if we've trusted you, and we believed in you as our personal Savior, then that promise is for all of us who have done that. So bless our listening audience, those who are sick, those who are shut in, those dealing with disease. I pray that you'd be with them today. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray for our friend Jim Hudson? He is the program manager, and he is also co-owner of WYGS in Columbus. He has pancreatic cancer, and would you pray for him? I'd appreciate it so very, very much. God bless you.
When the storms are raging around me, when the clouds seem black as the night, then I feel His presence surround me, and I know everything is all right. He gives me sweet peace when I'm down in the valley beside still water. He leads me. He restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. The kind shepherd leads to pastures of green, and there He gives me sweet peace. He gives peace beyond understanding, with goodness and mercy I'm blessed. In His presence there's joy everlasting, and in His care my soul is at rest. He gives me sweet peace when I'm down in the valley beside still water. He leads me. He restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. The kind shepherd leads to pastures of green, and there He gives me sweet peace. Peace, peace, wonder. Coming down from the Father above, He restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. The kind shepherd leads to pastures. pastures of green, and there he gives me sweet peace. Jesus gives sweet peace.
2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? My college life was an exciting, adventurous time for me. I was privileged to play college basketball at Atlanta Christian College. I sometimes humorously relate the fact that I crammed 4 years into six before I graduated. And I can remember that fateful day after attending three colleges and changing my degree program two times, sitting in a classroom at that school awaiting the professor's handing out of the final exam in historical geology. Quite frankly, whether or not I would graduate from that institution would be determined by how I did on that test. As he handed out the exam papers, I could hear the moans and the groans from my fellow classmates. As I looked over that exam, rock strata, facts, figures, data, minute organisms ran through my mind. Had I studied enough? Could I answer the questions? Would I pass the exam? Time alone would tell. I heard of a very humorous story of a young man who was walking down the street one day with his friend, and all of a sudden, the young man pulled out his cell phone, and he dialed the number of a local business establishment. And in a disguised voice, when the person on the other end of the line answered the call, the young man inquired about a specific job at that place of business. And his friend could only hear, obviously, one half of the conversation. And so the young man making the call, after he asked the question about a specific job and was it open, was it available, did they need to hire someone for that job, the young man on the phone said, "So," in a disguised voice, "you're telling me that that position is not open." He hung up the phone and turned around and looked at his friend with a large smile on his face. And his friend said, "So you're happy over the fact that that job was not available?" And the young man said, "I was talking to my boss. He didn't recognize my voice. I was just checking up on myself." Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. The Apostle Paul admonishes every one of us to examine ourselves. In order to properly examine ourselves, we will have to ask tough questions. We will have to make sure that we line up with the Word of God. A man by the name of T.S. Eliot, he once said, "Oh my soul, be prepared for him who knows how to ask questions." Jesus was very effective in asking penetrating questions. Someone has gone to the time-consuming task of adding up all the questions that are found in the four Gospels. While some of the questions are duplicate questions, it is significant there are 213 questions recorded. Those questions of Jesus are sharp, penetrating. "Who do you say that I am?" he asks. What is your opinion of me? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You see, there was a purpose behind these questions that Jesus asked. He assaults our minds. He wants us to think. Friend, if you don't think, you've got to think. In order to ascertain exactly what Jesus is saying, he knows that if he can get us to think and analyze what he is saying, then we will be persuaded and we will respond positively in what he asks us. Only the person who thinks will make a genuine commitment to Jesus Christ. He aims at our minds. He aims at our conscience. His questions require us to face ourselves as we really are. Someone said that you in actuality are three people. The person we want others to think we are. The person other people really see. And then the person that God sees and really knows us to be. You see, he reads our thoughts. On one occasion, he was speaking, and Jesus, knowing the thoughts of the Pharisees, he said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk?" He knows how we think. He knows our motives. Jesus asked Judas on one occasion, "Why have you come here?" And when Jesus looked at Judas and asked that question, his conscience was cut to the quick. And he returned the 30 pieces of silver. He appeals to our minds. He appeals to our conscience here. He appeals to our emotions. You see, Jesus seeks entrance through our emotions. We've felt a lot today. I mean, we've sung, I've seen you, I've watched you praise and get emotionally involved in what is going on here. And that's all a wonderful thing. Someone has said that feeling is one of the gates into the fortress that I call myself. I remember the emotions I felt when I walked the aisle of that tabernacle over in Wadsworth, Ohio, and I knelt at that altar as my father had concluded his sermon. I remember the emotions that tugged on my heart, that got hold of me, and I came down the aisle, and I knelt at the altar, and I accepted Christ into my life. It was an emotional moment in my life. I shall never forget it. I remember the emotions I felt when my sons were born. I can't even begin to describe what that was like. I remember the emotions when I met Gretchen Louise Niflis and realized she loved me back. I remember those emotions. I remember the emotions when I walked across a stage in Nampa, Idaho, after almost 3 years of studying in the middle of the night, reading book after book. Some I wanted to throw out the window because they just didn't connect with me. But I remember the emotions that I felt when I walked across that stage in that convention center and I got my master's degree at the age of 60. I remember the emotions. Emotions. They're all apart. This business of knowing who Jesus Christ is. You see, Christianity offers us a relationship with Almighty God, the God of the universe who literally spoke worlds into existence. And how can God be discovered until our emotions become involved in that? How do we enter into relationship with God without our mind, without our conscience, without our emotions, without our will? He appeals to our will. A choice must be made, and no one else can make it for you. You must activate your will in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So with all of those factors now in place, our emotions, our will, our conscience, with all of those things factored in, let's take the exam. Are you ready? The exam will have 5 questions. There is a time limit. There will be no grading on the curve. Failure is not an option. Question number 1 on the exam. It's a 2-part question. First part of the first question. Do you believe on the sun? Oh, very quickly you will think, I know. I mean, after all, look at what we've experienced already today in this service. Most of you will say, well, Lane, where have you been this morning? Everybody in the place believes in the sun. They believe in Jesus Christ. They wouldn't be here if they didn't believe in him. But don't forget this. Even the demons believe and tremble. So we're not talking about some mindless acceptance of the reality of Jesus Christ. Believing is not a one-time event. When John 3:16 says, whosoever believes shall not perish, that word believe in the original biblical language is present progressive. It simply means I do believe and I will continue to believe. I will allow him to have preeminence in my life. David Platt, the author of the book Follow Me, A Call to Live, A Call to Die. The first chapter of that book is amazingly unconverted believers. And there are people who walk in this church every Sunday who believe. But I must ask the question, are they converted? Has their life been changed? Are they walking a different walk? Everyone who believes, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ or Jesus is the Christ is born again. Everyone who believes that he is the Christ and that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. It's present progressive. It is ongoing in your life day after day, 24/7. That's the first part of the first question. Do you believe on the Son? The second part of the first question, have you personally accepted Christ as your Savior? It's an individual thing. It's not a collective thing. It's not a corporate decision. We can't stand here and say, well, I'm going to believe you're saved. I'm just going to trust God that you've been born again for you. You won't have to do anything. I'm just going to do it for you. Doesn't work that way, my friend. It's a personal event in your life. It's a place that you can point to. And I would submit to this congregation this morning that everybody in the place, regardless of you, who you are, you must be able to point to your own holy place where you've had an encounter with God that changed the direction of your life. It was a cold, dark, damp prison cell. The moans and groans of the other prisoners can be heard. But we read the story and we find that Paul and Silas, who had been in prison there, they begin to sing praise to God. They're thanking God that he is there. They know him. He is real in their lives. And they begin to praise him in such a positive fashion that somebody speculated that God said amen so loud that the doors fell off the hinges there in the prison cells. And they were free to make their escape. And when the jailer saw that they were free to escape, he assumed that all had done just that. But Paul and Silas said, don't harm yourself. He was about to commit suicide. Don't harm yourself. We are all here. And then that jailer said, what shall I do to be saved? Well, Paul and Silas said, just join us. Just join the church. Just get baptized. Just live a better life. Just turn a few things around in your life. Then you're going to be saved. No, that's not what they said. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that night, that man and his entire house were birthed into the kingdom of God. Question number one, do you believe in Jesus Christ, and have you personally accepted him as your own personal Savior? How'd you do? How did you answer that question?
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.